Com.
It's time for the Easy Organic Gardener. I would like to extend a very warm welcome to each of you. I know some parts of the country are freezing, and of course I'm in Tucson broadcasting live today, and I think we're going to be in the 70s. So anyway, this is your host, Sherry Herrera de Fry, mom, composter, gardener, horticulturalist, worm farmer, entrepreneur, and Dr. Bug Lady. I have an outstanding guest with me, the acclaimed Danielle Nierenberg. She's a food expert, and we're going to be talking about how she and her organizations are offering solutions and environmentally sustainable ways of alleviating hunger, obesity, and poverty by creating a network of connections and information for all of us to consume and share. If you have a question during our discussion, please feel free to give us a call. The number is 877-300-7645. I'm going to repeat that, 877-300-7645. And when you call in with a question during this hour, you will receive a free $50 gift certificate that you can use to purchase any of Arbico Organics natural products for your organic home, garden, farm, livestock, or pet. We look forward to hearing from you. And now I would like to ask Danielle Nierenberg to join me. Hi, Danielle. Welcome to the Easy Organic Gardener.
Thanks for having me.
You are so great to be with us. I think we had our wires crossed today because I have you down as my guest, but somehow or other, we got kind of busy over the holidays. So thank you so much for joining me. I really appreciate it.
No, it's my pleasure. Thank you again for having me.
You know, I usually present my guest biographies. You're just such a superstar. I mean, I could just spend about 10 minutes just reading your biography off. So, you have really done a lot in your lifetime. So instead of me sort of doing a recap, I'd really like you to do a recap and share with us your background and all of your, well, I don't know if you can share all of your accomplishments, but it's very impressive. So tell us your story.
Well, I mean, most recently, about a year ago, we started Food Tank, the food think tank. And Food Tank is really based on some of the research, on-the-ground research that my partner in crime, my boyfriend and I did across Sub-Saharan Africa, Asia, and Latin America. We spent about 2 years on the ground visiting and listening to farmers and women's groups and researchers and scientists, policymakers, students and academics and a whole range of other stakeholders in the food system, and really listened to them about what they thought was working to help alleviate hunger and poverty while also protecting the environment. And again, that listening tour, which is what we like to call it, really inspired us to start Food Tank and really build a platform where entrepreneurs and chefs and farmers and food advocates and activists and the funding and donor communities could see, again, what's working, what deserves to be invested in, what has a lot of potential to be replicated and scaled up. And so that, Food Tank turned 1 year old this past Friday. And we're, continuing to galvanize a community of people who are concerned about making the food system better. Our weekly newsletter now reaches around 100,000 folks around the world, and we are partnering with different organizations, including the United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization. One project that I'm really, really excited about this year is the International Year of Family Farming. And Food Tank has been working with the United Nations FAO to really highlight all the things that farmers do besides produce food. You know, they're teachers in their communities, they're stewards of the environment, they're entrepreneurs and inventors. And, you know, again, highlighting all the amazing work that's being done that most of us don't, you know, usually get the chance to hear about. We, there's been such a focus on sort of high-tech things that can help improve the food system. And, you know, there are a lot of things that are out there that are low-cost, are combining low and high-tech, for example. And, you know, these are things that have a lot of potential. And, again, yes, they're not getting the support that they need.
Wow, and that's a huge undertaking. I'm just so glad that you've formed Food Tank, because I think that this is something that all of us want to have happen. We're not sure how to make it happen, and I know this is one of your goals, is to offer all the opportunities for education and implementation. So what do you think, I mean, let's just get right down to it. What is the biggest issue surrounding food today as you see it?
Oh, gosh, it's such a hard question to answer. I mean, I think probably the biggest thing is that, you know, and I've alluded to this in what I said before, that we think of the food system as the problem. We don't think of agriculture as the solution. You know, agriculture has been blamed for everything from, you know, rural migration to urban areas to deforestation to climate change. And yet the food system has all this opportunity. You know, it can create jobs. It can prevent a lot of the youth unrest that happens, you know, particularly in the developing world. It can provide jobs in urban areas in the United States. It can provide economic stability, community activism by bringing people together around farmers markets or community gardens. It can help, in many cases, protect the environment and improve biodiversity and improve soils. And yet, it's just been blamed. Farmers are blamed for a lot of things. And so really sort of reversing that mindset and really looking at agriculture and the food system as the solution, I think, is the sort of the biggest issue for me right now. And, you know, again, this is part of what Food Tank does, try to create awareness and education and show people what's working to sort of, you know, dispel that myth that agriculture is really the villain.
Well, I like the way you said that, because it's not the villain. It actually is it's the solution. It's just how we go about utilizing that solution. And agreeably, I would say, you know, there have been many agricultural tactics, as you said, that haven't been as positive to the environment. Yet, when we take it to the next step, I certainly see that we're going to be able to have it be the solution and not be the villain. Let's just talk a little bit about, you know, why is food such a weak link? How did that come to be the weak link when it seems like it's the most important thing for all of us?
Yeah, it's very interesting. I think, you know, food is something, you know, we all have to eat every day. It's something that brings people together, but yet it's, you know, been dismissed. And what happened really in the 1980s is that many governments around the world, particularly in sub-Saharan Africa, excuse me, and also in our own, we started ignoring agriculture. We didn't invest in it as much. We African governments, for example, invested in modernization, you know, and making big cities and not really focusing on what was the source of their GDP, the small scale farmer, and a lot of investments and loans really focused on modernizing agriculture. Producing monoculture crops, whether it was wheat, rice, or maize, and little was invested in the foods that actually feed people. And, you know, this has led to not only environmental degradation, but also the epidemic of obesity around the world. We've done really well at producing enough calories to feed every person who's alive today. But what we haven't done a good job of is really nourishing them and producing crops that actually, you know, provide nutrients and micronutrients and vitamins and all the things that people need to survive and live well and develop well. So I think, sorry, I have a frog in my throat. We haven't invested in the things that can actually nourish both people and the planet. environmentally sustainable ways of producing food, and we've really ignored, again, the small-scale farmer.
So that's something we're going to talk about when we get back, talking about small-scale farmers, because we're going to take a quick break here in about 10 seconds. So I'm so excited that you're taking the time to enlighten us, and we're going to come right back in just a few minutes. So for those of you who are listening, please stand by, because we're coming right back with Danielle Nierenberg to talk more about Food Tank. And for those of you listening, if you want to give us a call, we're at 877-300-7645.
help with pest control. Don't use synthetics. Grow naturally. The solution is Arbico Organics. They offer a complete line of products for your organic home, garden, yard, farm, horse, livestock, and pets. They're affordable, effective, and will provide the results you have been looking for. Go to www.arbico-organics.com or call 800-SOS-BUGS to speak with Arbico Organics Specialist. Be sure to order your free Arbico Organics catalog.
Plan a healthy garden easy and fast with Organicaseed.com. Easy because Organicaseed.com offers one of the largest online selections of organic, heirloom, non-hybrid, and untreated seeds, as well as tobacco and cotton seeds at low prices. Go to Organicaseed.com, spelled O-R-G-A-N-I-C-A-Seed.com. Organicaseed.com. Remember, Organicaseed is healthy seed.
Gold isn't for you? Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realists, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30%, while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should, too. Find out what they know. Call us, and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
We travel so much, and having a fake TV, well, it gives added peace of mind.
Burglars look for houses that appear to be easy targets. But fake TV can fool even professional burglars into thinking someone is home watching television.
As a recent widow living alone, it gives me great peace of mind to set my fake TV near a window and know that passing motorists and pedestrians will think someone is home watching TV when I'm actually away from home.
Fake TV easily plugs into any outlet, just like a light on a timer.
And they're so easy to use. You just plug them in and they're ready to go. Plus, they're so affordable that we have one upstairs and downstairs.
Fake TV is only $29.95 with free shipping. Order your fake TV by calling 877-5-FAKE-TV or go to faketv.com. That's 877-532-5388 or faketv.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.
Positive results from satisfied customers of Heart and Body Extract continue to pour into our website, hbextract.com.
This is Al from New Jersey. One day I saw your ad for Heart and Body Extract, and it mentioned that it would help me with angina, so I decided to order. I figure I had nothing to lose.
Heart and Body Extract supplies your body with everything it needs to balance itself and maintain optimal heart and circulatory health with no negative side effects.
I took the formula 3 times a day as directed, and I kid you not, within 4 days, my angina pain was completely gone.
Order HB Extract by calling 866-295-5305 or online at hbextract.com. That's 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
I could not believe it actually stopped the pain. Heart and Body Extract actually works. This is just an amazing product. Even the numbness in my hands is completely gone.
Heart and Body Extract for a long and healthy life.
GCN. New year, new attitude, new shows. Man Cow is now on GCN.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to The Easy Organic Gardener. This is Sherry Herrera de Fry. My guest is the amazing Danielle Nierenberg. She is an American activist, author, and journalist. She is known for her work addressing sustainable agriculture on behalf of The Guardian and The Huffington Post, and has been extensively cited and published in The New York Times, The Chicago Tribune, USA Today, and The China Daily. She's an advisor to Citizen Effect and founded Nourishing the Planet while working at the World Watch Institute. And in 2013, she co-founded Food Tank, the food tank with Ellen Gustafson. And welcome back, Danielle.
Hi, thanks for having me again.
You bet, you bet. Let's before we get back into our conversation about urban agriculture, talk a little bit about your website and, you know, how people can sign up. And I know you've got all kinds of amazing things on it, volunteering, partners, food, you know, joining the food tank. Just enlighten us a little bit, because I think this is an important step for all of us to get involved.
Sure. We encourage your listeners to really visit foodtank.org. We have a lot of information on the website. We have weekly series that focus on the International Year of Family Farming, indigenous vegetables from around the world, really highlighting, again, these different groups that are doing such amazing work but don't often get the attention that they need. Our newsletter goes out every week, and it reaches, again, around 100,000 folks from around the world, and we really try to highlight different issues each week. Last week, we focused on 101 different organizations to watch for in 2014. These are groups that we think are doing amazing work, and you know, we hope our readers will look more into them and support them as well. There are volunteer opportunities as well as internships available. So any students who are listening, it's a really great opportunity to get your name out, to research something that you are very interested in, whether it's urban agriculture or rainwater harvesting or, you know, different innovations that are happening around the world, to really be able to research these topics, interview experts, and then write a short article for us, as well as do other research. We're working on a couple of different research reports, including research around hunger and obesity and the paradox of those two things occurring often at the same time in the same countries and sometimes even in the same households. We're doing a report on urban agriculture around the world and the importance that it can have, not just on food and nutrition security, but also income generation. And we'll be releasing next month a research report on family farming around the world. And again, all the things that family farmers are doing in addition to food production. So there's a lot of opportunities to get involved. We have events all over the country. I'm constantly speaking in different universities and organizations. So we try to keep our readers as up-to-date as possible about where we're at and what we're up to.
Wow, it sounds like, you know, we just keep doing what you're involved in, and we're going to get this thing shored up, because it's in great need of your help, and it's very, what you're doing is very well thought out. Let's talk about going back to urban agriculture. Talk a little bit about, tell us about urban agriculture and how we're seeing the rise of that, particularly in this country.
Sure, there are at least 1 billion people who are practicing urban agriculture around the world. It's really 2007 and 2008 when the food and financial crisis began. Urban gardening has probably taken on a bigger hold across countries in the world than it had before, because people are hungry. They're particularly hungry in cities, and so urban agriculture has become not a choice, not a hobby like it is for many of us here in the United States, but a necessity, because people don't have enough money to buy food. So you see the rise of urban gardening in slums around the world, places like Kibera, which is believed to be the largest slum in sub-Saharan Africa, with anywhere from 700,000 to 1 million people. I've had this opportunity to meet with some women farmers who are working in Kibera, and one of the cool things that they've done is develop what they call vertical gardens, and these are tall, empty rice or maize sacks that they've filled with soil, and they poke holes in a sack, and they can grow vegetables on different levels, you know, kale, spinach, tomatoes. And these gardens, these vertical gardens, became a very important source of food security during the riots in Kenya in 2007 and 2008 around the presidential elections. No food was coming into Kibera because it was just too crazy and chaotic there, but the families in the neighborhoods who had these vertical gardens, you know, had their own very local source of food that was available. So it was a lifesaver for many of these communities. I also met with a group of urban farmers working in Kibera who have been farming an empty lot that is adjacent to the slum, and it's probably half the size of a soccer field. And the farmers have been farming this land on and off for about 20 years. They don't own the land, as most urban farmers don't own their land, and they periodically get kicked off, and their crops are destroyed. But they've really persevered, and, you know, they come back to this gardening, and they're able to grow enough food to feed themselves and, you know, have some to be able to sell to other people in their community. But one thing that they've done that started about 5 years ago is that they've started selling indigenous seeds, things like amaranth, leafy greens that I can't pronounce but taste really good, and then selling those seeds to rural farmers. And there's often this idea that urban farming only benefits people in urban areas, and that is often the case. But what these farmers who are growing these seeds and then selling them as inputs to rural communities have proven is that urban agriculture doesn't only feed the poor and hungry in cities. It can also be this really important source of indigenous seeds for rural communities. And one thing about Eastern Africa is that farmers, whether they're, you know, farming in the city or they're farming in rural areas, have had a really hard time over the last couple of decades finding good quality sources of local seed. A lot of industries and agribusiness have really come into these areas and driven out the local seed purveyors and driven out really the demand for local and indigenous crops. So what these farmers are doing is really not just providing inputs, but also promoting agricultural biodiversity. So it's just a really important, you know, way to remember that urban farming can be really, really important, especially for folks in developing countries. But as you know, and as you see in Arizona and really across the country, is that urban gardening is happening, you know, all around us. In Chicago, where I live, people, you know, have backyard gardens. They have gardens on their stoops. There are rooftop gardens that are supplying restaurants. New York is, you know, a bastion now of urban agricultural endeavors that are supplying food to farmers markets, again, to restaurants, to schools, and a whole, you know, host of other businesses. And so you see this, you know, there's a demand for having food that is locally produced, obviously. You know, that's been something that's been going on for a couple of decades here in the United States.
And that's,
but now people are really seeing the opportunity that cities can have to provide that food.
And that's what it's all about. You know, I think this is the crux of it. We're going to come right back in just a few minutes with Danielle Nierenberg. We're going to continue to talk about food, so don't go away.
So we decided to upgrade the look of our home.
You know, improve the curb appeal.
We decided to add the look of stone to the exterior.
We really like the stacked stone look.
Yeah, but when I checked into the price, it was ridiculous. No way could we afford it.
Then a friend told me about Genstone. Genstone.
Genstone comes in lightweight panels made of polyurethane. They've actually engineered the hassle out of installation. No mortar, no mesh. It was easy. Even I could do it.
We just screwed the panels to the wall and it looks like stone. I mean, it really looks like stone.
Yeah, from the box to the wall in minutes.
We love the look of our home now.
And Genstone is durable, comes with a 25-year warranty, and offers additional R-value for insulation.
If you want the look of stone at a price you can afford, call Genstone
at 855-955-STONE.
Trust me, you'll save money.
And you'll love the look.
855-955-STONE. That's 855-955-7866.
An e-cig revolution is sweeping across the country. But is yours American-made? Vapriate e-liquid by LaCig is. Manufactured in Arkansas with 100% USA-sourced ingredients. And when you buy American, you support local jobs. Vapriate e-liquid by LaCig is top quality at an affordable price. The very principle that once drove the American economy. Get great taste with no ash, tar, or smoke. You'll be wondering why you didn't make the change to Vapriate e-liquid by LaCig a long time ago. LaCig.com has everything you need, for beginners to the advanced vaping enthusiast, with a wide variety of hardware and also imported e-liquid flavors as well. Plus, LaCig smokes the competition with fast, free, same-day shipping, real people customer service, and a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. Support our country and become a Vapriate at LaCig.com. or call 870-525-1440. 870-525-1440. LeSig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, listen carefully. Sweeping changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever eliminate their tax debts once and for all. And now, thanks to Dan Pilla, you can get the tax help you need to end your tax nightmare.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I've helped thousands of people reduce or eliminate tax debts they couldn't pay. And after more than 30 years of experience dealing with the IRS, I can tell you there's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. With the IRS's new policies, it's easier than ever to put your tax debt behind you once and for all. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. Call 800-346-6829. Learn how I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. Or go to my website, taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
It's no secret that silver is one of the oldest known natural antibiotics, but the mainstream media will never tell we the people this information. Why? Many drug companies and politicians have dangerous alliances that manipulate the way we live by prescribing drugs that only manage disease, keeping us dependent on Big Pharma. And with Obamacare at our doorstep, we are now forced into a system that many of us do not want any part of. And no man or government has the right to dictate how we as free people choose to take care of our health. The patriots at utopiasilver.com hold this truth dear. Colloidal and ionic silver supplements from utopiasilver.com open the door to a whole new world of natural healing for the body and the mind. Visit utopiasilver.com and discover the safe and effective health benefits of colloidal and ionic silver. Call 888-213-4338. 888-213-4338 and talk to the patriots at utopiasilver.com, a leading source of natural healing using colloidal silver, colloidal gold, minerals, vitamins, and herbs. utopiasilver.com.
Unpredictable, controversial, but always entertaining. The new home of Man Cow is GCN.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the Easy Organic Gardener. That's E-A-S-Y, environmentally and sustainably yours. My guest is the acclaimed Danielle Nierenberg. She is a food expert, and she and her organization are offering solutions and environmentally sustainable ways of alleviating hunger, obesity, and poverty by creating a network of connections and information for all of us to consume and share, and it's called Food Tank. Welcome back, Danielle.
So, thanks for having me.
You bet. So we were talking about urban farming, and I see that as definitely a solution. There's sort of this bigger overarching situation that has to deal with, obviously, we're talking about hunger here. And, you know, there's a statistic that I read that said that there would be about 219,000 people at the dinner table tonight who will not be there, you know, the next night. There just isn't food for them. And we've got around 3 billion affluent people who are moving up the food chain, consuming grain-intensive livestock and poultry products. And then along with that, you've got water shortages and heat waves, and which makes it harder for farmers to keep up with the demand. And then we talk about the grain issue. How do you address all this? I mean, it's so huge. But for me, it seems to be that it all comes down to population growth.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a great point, and one that our leaders point out to me a lot, that, you know, if we don't find ways to curb or reduce global population, then, you know, all of these technologies and all of these innovations might be for naught. And really, from my research and the work that I've done really over the last 15 years, the biggest way to help curb population growth is really to educate women. Women are, you know, have a few more years of schooling. Study after study shows that they have fewer children. So the more that we can find ways to make sure that girls stay in school and that they are able to graduate at a high school level and beyond, the fewer children they'll have over their lifetimes. And, you know, this is something that takes not just, you know, encouraging girls to stay in school. You need communities to really realize the importance of educating girls and women. And, you know, one of the coolest innovations and projects that I've seen is something that's happening throughout Southern Africa with support from a group called the Food and Natural Resources Policy Analysis Network. A theater troupe that is based in Zimbabwe is traveling to villages and communities in Southern Africa and doing role-playing with communities around the importance of women and around the importance of women in agriculture. Women make up around 43% of the agricultural labor force in the world, and so they're doing a lot of the farming that are, you know, is feeding, you know, these villages and communities all over the world. So helping elders and men and boys understand the important role that women play is really fundamental to, you know, creating a better sense of empowerment, not just for the women and girls in communities, but for the communities themselves. So this theater troupe goes in, role plays, shows the elders, shows the men, again, you know, all the contributions that women make. And it can really help change attitudes so that, you know, men are treating their sisters and their mothers and their wives a lot better than they might in the past, really respecting them a lot more. And this is something that can help, you know, allow families to really plan their families, to plan how many children they want to have and to you know, make decisions for themselves that they might not have been able to make before.
Right, and that's the best way to, I think it's a great way to go about it, because it, you know, the forcing is not the way to do it. It's through education, and you know, I think this is a very positive way of allowing people to make other choices as they show their differences through appreciation. And I like that a lot. Let's talk a little bit about fuel and food. And why is this such a big issue right now?
Well, there's this, now there's a competition. You know, we used to think of fuel as something that came out of the ground that we had to pump, you know, as oil. But now a lot of fuel is being produced on land that was previously used for agriculture, these biofuels. Are, you know, made mostly from corn, but can be made from other crops. And there's a real fear that using land to grow fuel instead of food could exacerbate the hunger that we see in the world today. There are nearly 1 billion people who are hungry. The latest statistics from the United Nations show that around 842 million people are hungry, but the number is likely much higher. The statistics and the way that they're analyzed have changed a little bit over the last few years. And the number of hungry is based really on folks who have a sedentary lifestyle. But as you well know, most of the people in the world who are hungry are farmers, and those are people who are very active. They're not sitting in offices. They're actually in fields working every day. So the number of hungry people is anywhere from 842 million to more than 1 billion people. And if we're really concerned about making sure that everyone is fed and that there's enough food for not just the people who are alive today, but 50-100 years from now, then we should really be thinking more about how our land and our precious soil are being used. And so a lot of the controversy around biofuels has been on, you know, why would we use precious agricultural land to grow fuel for our cars instead of to feed people? Another sort of predicament is that a lot of the grain that we're growing in the world today, about 80% of the soybeans and around 30 to 40% of corn is not used to feed people. It's used to feed livestock. And so you were alluding to this growing middle class of people who are demanding more protein. The growing middle class either demanding, you know, more protein-rich foods, including eggs and meat. And, you know, how are we going to be able to feed everyone if there's this demand from this growing middle class? So that it's not just biofuels. It's the growing middle class and their demand for more protein that we really need to be thinking about. And so one of the things that we focused on with Food Tank is, you know, in the United States and other rich countries, we already eat too much meat. We tend to eat it 3 times a day. We don't think of it as a condiment to food or as a, a source of flavor. We think of it as the base of our meal. While most people in the world look at meat as sort of an addition, something to flavor or make their food taste a little bit better. And so we really need to rethink how we think about meat, and rethinking global meat production will be a huge way to promote sustainability in the food system, and not just eating less meat, but also making sure that the sources of your meat are a little bit better, that they're raised in environmentally sustainable ways, that animals are raised on pasture and grass and not in confined animal feeding operations. So there's a lot to think about as we look at the future of food and really, hoping that policymakers and producers are using land in the best ways and in ways that really bring nutrients back to the soil rather than just extracting them.
Sort of like mining, we often talk about conventional agriculture, that some of the farmers ought to be wearing those little lights around their head, like a miner, because they take out and take out and take out, but they don't put anything back in. And after a while, you have such soil depletion, you can't pump anything in there to any longer. And particularly in developing countries where the land itself is not necessarily fertile, it is fertile when you have a canopy of trees, great big trees, the rainforest, that are producing a fuel, if you will, an organic fuel, which is just the what actually fertilizes everything in those parts of the world. Very soon it goes away and they move to another part of the land, and then we have erosion. We're going to come right back with Danielle Nierenberg, and if you have any questions for Danielle or myself, it's 877-300-7645. When you call in, you're going to receive a $50 gift certificate. So we'll be right back. Don't go away.
Need help with pest control? Don't use synthetics. Grow naturally. The solution is Arbico Organics. They offer a complete line of products for your organic home, garden, yard, farm, horse, livestock, and pets. They're affordable, effective, and will provide the results you have been looking for. Go to www.arbico-organics.com or call 800-SOS-BUGS to speak with Arbico Organics specialist. Be sure to order your free Arbico Organics catalog.
Hi, I'm Ed Krell, CEO of Destination Maternity. We proudly support the March of Dimes work to reduce the rate of premature birth. The numbers have gone down in the past 5 years, but still, nearly 500,000 babies are born too soon in the United States each year. We're helping the March of Dimes fund cutting-edge research and community programs to help more moms have full-term pregnancies and healthy babies. Join us in working together for stronger, healthier babies. Visit marchofdimes.com.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL.
Lock in your price now. Take delivery in spring.
866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document? Worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average over 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE. 855-340-7283.
Hi, my name is Scott Fuchs, teacher and rowing coach for over 14 years. I was sluggish, overweight, on prescription drugs, and only 30-something. Fortunately, I was referred to Dr. Z, and happy to say Dr. Z's all-natural protocols over a consistent course resolved my health issues. I'm in the best shape of my life, and most importantly, on zero medications.
I'm Dr. Zdanowski, author of Evology, trained as a primary care physician, surgical manipulation under anesthesia, expert in nutrition, diet, weight loss, immune system, and I specialize in chiropractic. My 15 years of professional experience has taught me the four keys to vibrant health: a balanced musculoskeletal system, an integrated nervous system, a flowing lymphatic system, and a body filled with over 90 essential nutrients. This has been a secret too long. Actualize your potential. Reverse disease. Call me, Dr. Z. 201-945-1177, 201-945-1177, evolveyourself.com.
A little right, a little left, but always independent-minded. The Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Easy Organic Gardener. This is Sherry Herrera de Fry. My guest is Danielle Nierenberg. She's co-founder of Food Tank, which is an amazing organization that is offering solutions and environmentally sustainable ways of stopping hunger, obesity, and poverty by creating a network of connections and information for all of us to consume and share. Welcome back, Danielle. So this is our last segment. There's so much that you could teach all of us. You have so much to talk about. What is your request from all of us who are listening? What do we need to do? How can we become a part of the solution instead of a part of the issues that are causing this food shortage and breakdown in our system?
There are so many ways for all of us to get involved, whether it's, you know, very simple things like, you know, cooking a few more meatless meals every week, or shopping at your local farmer's market, or, you know, growing some food in your backyard. I think one of the things that we really all need to do is reconnect ourselves to the food system. And, you know, it might sound a little trite or naive, but really understanding where your food comes from is the first step. You know, I've met with school kids, you know, all over this country who don't realize that milk comes from cows or that carrots grow in the soil. And so really making sure that all of us are reconnecting to where our food comes from. And, you know, that for busy families, I understand that can be a burden, you know, to spend a little more on food or to visit the farmer's market. But I think it's so important. One thing that goes along with that is we've also really lost conviviality. So many of us eat in our cars or, you know, eat from boxes that we've put in the microwave. And we've, you know, again, this contributes to this sense of not valuing food, not understanding where it comes from, and not understanding all the hard work that goes into producing it. So sharing meals with coworkers or sharing meals with your family, you know, when you can, when, you know, whether it's a couple nights a week or a couple nights a month, just bringing back that sense of conviviality back to food and to sharing food, I think, is so important. You know, there are a lot of folks who want to get involved in a deeper level. One of the big issues that Food Tank has focused on is really the issue of food waste. We waste about 40% of all the food that's produced in the world. That's enough food to feed every hungry person in sub-Saharan Africa. So, you know, understanding that the expiration dates and the sell-by dates on food are not meant to, you know, they're very arbitrary. They're not federally regulated in the United States. And so, you know, really trusting your senses rather than those dates is one way to prevent food loss. you know, again, learning how to use leftovers, learning how to cook and what a regular portion size looks like so that you don't cook too much food and waste it. You know, not buying too much or ordering too much at restaurants or grocery stores is one effective way. And then there are lots of farmers who are looking for volunteers to go into their fields after, you know, the initial harvest and glean the food that's left in the field, whether it's squash or pumpkins or tomatoes, and really, you know, distribute that food to either homeless shelters and food banks, or, you know, to cook it in your own home so that it doesn't go wasted. So there are all these sorts of opportunities as individuals that we can do. You know, we can also support policymaking and encourage our representatives to vote not just for a farm bill, but for a food bill that really makes sure that small and organic and more sustainable farmers are getting the support that they need. In this country, most of the subsidies go to big monoculture farmers and livestock farmers, and they don't go to the folks who, again, are actually producing food that all of us can eat and be nourished by. And, you know, and we encourage folks to really visit the Food Tank website. One of the things that we try to do is really bridge domestic and global food issues so that folks can understand that whether it's malnutrition in Malawi or obesity in New York City, it's really part of the same problem, a food system that is broken and that doesn't focus on nourishing people. So educating yourself is a huge step and an easier one than some of the other things that I probably outlined, but it's key to making sure that, you know, we all realize we're part of the food system, that it's not separate from us.
That's well put. And I know you talk a lot about how we can make a difference in the restoration of culinary traditions and reigniting a taste for indigenous foods. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're so lucky in Arizona with this Gary Paul Nabhan, who has really been the leader and focusing on, you know, knowing where your food comes from, eating local diets, eating things that are suited to your environment and local traditions. And, you know, I think all of us have forgotten, you know, that strawberries don't grow in February and that, you know, there's a season for things, and eating seasonally is something that we can all do. You know, it's not only good for the environment, but it's also good for our bodies. You know, we're not meant to eat everything every time of year. We're, you know, there's food grows during particular seasons, and that's when our bodies need it. And, you know, knowing these things and understanding them is a really huge step. And, you know, in sub-Saharan Africa and other parts of the developing world, the indigenous crops are often the crops that are more resilient to pests and disease and high temperatures. And these are crops that are only going to become more and more important as the impacts of climate change become more evident. So, you know, there's so many benefits to eating more traditional and indigenous foods.
Well, that is well said. And you know, I mean, what's your one change you'd like to see in our food system?
You know, Michael Pollan always says vote with your fork, but you also need to vote with your vote. And voting for a food system you believe in, and, you know, either you're voting with your dollars at the grocery store, or you're voting for representatives and policies that you believe in. You know, we all need to realize that we have some power to change things in this country, and we don't often do it. So, you know, voting with your dollar, voting with your vote, and making choices that you think are good for not only your health but also the environment.
That's really the key right there. And I think the other issue you sort of touched on, it was having a more of an appreciation for nature. We over the last two generations, I'd say, number one, we've lost the art of growing. Many people don't know how to save seeds. We became dependent on a system that, as you said, did not provide us necessarily with nourishment, provided us with stuff to put in our body, not necessarily the best, not with evil intentions behind it at all, just, you know, doing the best that it could do. And as a result of that, we became somewhat disconnected from our relationship to all of nature and the importance of food. So we've got about 1 minute left. What's your final advice for us?
you know, again, I think it all comes back to educating yourself and really, you know, putting more of an effort. We put so much effort into every other aspect of our life, whether it's exercise or our jobs or schoolwork. You know, we need to put as much effort into cooking and thinking about where our food comes from. So I think, you know, that's my final advice. And if folks have more questions, I would encourage them to check out our website, foodtank.org, or email me anytime at danielle@foodtank.com.
That's great. Well, you know, it's been so phenomenal having you on the show, and you know, I think what your work is absolutely necessary, because when we think about political unrest around the country, we are even talking about how when people are fed and educated, they're not fighting. They're not fighting. They get along better. They become vital members of the community. They're more compassionate. They just think differently. And, you know, we talk about this on the show a lot. Just go out and plant something. Just go out and plant anything, because that restores that connection. Makes you have a relationship with your neighbors when you have too many zucchini and you share them. And I love what you're doing, and my hat's off to you and your organization. And I hope we can stay in touch with you and do whatever we can to help provide you the success that all of us are going to benefit from in the future.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate this opportunity, and, you know, it's been an honor to be on your show, so thank you.
Well, you bet. We're just going to we are going to have you back, because we want to know how you're doing and stay connected. And for all of you who are listening, we're going to be back next week. We're going to have another great guest. And a big thank you to Danielle Nierenberg and her organization. And we will be talking again. And for those of you who need to get a hold of us, don't forget we're at www.arbico-organics.com. And you can always get a hold of us Monday through Saturday at 800-SOS-BUGS. Thanks so much. This is Sherry Herrera Day Fry. Make it an easy and sustainable organic week.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.